So we're continuing in the book of Ezra, and we're up to what they call the 8th chapter, the 15th pasuk. So Ezra has gotten this fantastic license to come up into Israel, and he's taking the leaders with him, and he gathers them by a river named Ahava. Now Ahava, love, is with a vase. Over here it's Ahava with a Vav. Ahava, love, is Aleph, Hey, Vav, Hey. Over here it's Aleph, Hey, Vav, Aleph. It's a totally different name. It just sounds similar. And they camp there for 3 days. And then Ezra notices, I don't have any Levites here with me. So he sends some leaders, and he tells them to talk to Ido, one of the important people in Chaspia, that's the name of the place, and he tell Ido, the people in Chasifia, tell us that we need Levites. Send word that we don't have Levites. Now, I don't know why it was so important for Ezra to bring Levites, because there were already Levites living in Israel. So for whatever reason, Ezra knew he has to bring Levites with him as well. So, yeah.
Isn't there a Gemara in Megillah that like 90% of the Levites didn't show up?
Yes.
Was there bigger? He had to change around the whole...
Yeah, but the numbers that Ezra brought with him were very small. Meaning Ezra's ascent from Babylon was in the thousands, 1,000, 2,000 people, compared to the 40,000 that already ascended. It's not clear to me why it was important to Ezra, why he needed the Levites. Chazal say it was important to me, so I don't have Levites with me. So he sent some of the leaders back, and they brought back with them the descendants of Machli ben Levi ben Yisrael. They brought this family, and Shreviah and his children, 18 Levites. Chashaviah and Yeshayah from the descendants of Mimarari, another 20. Okay, so they bring some Netinim back with them. And then they're by the river Ahava. I'm saying, again, look at the numbers. I mean, I assume there were much more Levites living in Israel, but these are the numbers we have here. A total of 38 Levites. So Ezra declares a fast day over there by the river Ahava, that Hashem should guide them in a straight path on their way up to Israel. Why? Because Ezra says, I was embarrassed to ask the king to send us with horsemen, and we were going to travel next to enemy territory. And we had told the king that Hashem wants us here, and Hashem has anger against those who leave him. So the king said, okay, good luck. And the way the king heard what we had said, that we're traveling on behalf of Hashem, and Hashem is upset at those who don't go with him, so the king simply said, okay, then go, good luck. And he didn't think that, hey, maybe they need some soldiers to accompany them. So they were traveling without soldiers, next to enemy territory, and they were embarrassed because it would sound like they didn't trust Hashem. Here they were saying, Hashem is with us, we have to build the Beit HaMikdash. Now they're going to say, but send us some soldiers. Darius had thought, okay, you don't need soldiers. So they pray and they fast that things should pass peacefully. And they're heading up to Israel. They have an accounting of the vessels. And they tell the Kohanim, you guys are responsible for this stuff. Now that we've done an accounting, you guys, when we get to Jerusalem, you're responsible for producing all of these vessels, this gold and silver. And they start traveling. It is the 12th of the month of Tishrei. They're heading up to Israel, and they are saved from the enemies. It sounds like it wasn't so simple that they escaped. And they come to Jerusalem, and they settle in Jerusalem, and after 3 days they take an accounting of all the gold and silver. Nothing's missing, and they bring it all, and they bring sacrifices, and they bring over the letter from the king, and now they're in Jerusalem. And now we are approaching the end of the book of Ezra, which happens to be probably the most famous part of the book. Everything we learned until now, most people don't know. What we're about to learn, people know partially. So Ezra has come. And part of the instructions the king gave was that Ezra is responsible for the religion. Dariovish says, I want Ezra to ensure everyone's keeping Torah. So the leaders come to Ezra and they tell him the following. You know, the Jews, us, the nation, the Kohanim, and the Levim, we've connected with our neighbors. We've learned from their ways and married their daughters and married their sons. And now we've really connected to the nations all around us. And even the leadership here in Israel has intermarried. So Ezra has come with these high hopes. He's going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And the leadership comes and tells him, you know, we haven't been behaving so well. You know, we haven't kept ourselves separate from the nations. You know, actually, a lot of us have actually married. Actually, the leadership was the first to intermarry. And when Ezra heard that, he tore his clothing. And he started pulling out the hair on his head. And he started pulling out the hairs on his beard. And he sat there stunned for 7 days. He didn't know what to do. And when he discovered that this is what had happened in Israel, so the people who had respect for the words of the Torah, they started gathering to Ezra. And Ezra sat there for 7 days stunned. And on the seventh day, he took upon himself a fast day. And in the afternoon, he tore his clothing some more. And he bowed before Hashem and he prayed and he said, Hashem, I'm so embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to face you, Hashem. We've transgressed so much. It's beyond what we could handle. Our transgressions are to the heaven. From the days of our forefathers, we as a people have done so many things that were wrong now till today. And it's because of the things we did wrong that you gave us in the hands of our enemies. It could be our kings, our Kohanim. The Jewish people have been looted. The Jewish people have been killed. We're embarrassed. And now, you've been so good to us. You gave us a remnant. And you allowed us to come back. And you've enlightened our path. You've given us the ability to live in spite of everything. Here we were. We were enslaved. And even in being enslaved, we've been faithful to you. And now you've given us all this kindness that the Persian Empire is sending us here to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, rebuild the walls. But what can we say? Now that I see that we as a people have left your mitzvos, you've commanded us that this land is defiled from the nations, and you warned us we shouldn't intermarry with them, we shouldn't connect to them, and in that way we'll be successful in the land of Israel for eternity. And after everything that's gone wrong here, we've done so much bad. And you, Hashem, in spite of what we've done wrong, you've forgiven us time and again, and you've allowed us to exist in spite of how wrong we've been. And if we do tshuva, are we going to now come back and transgress? How can it be? Now we're going to marry the nations. Of course you'll be upset at us. And this time, who says you'll leave anything? Hashem, the God of Israel, you are righteous. Here, you've left a remnant of the Jewish people. I stand before you embarrassed of what we've done wrong. And I don't have the strength. I know I don't have enough good deeds to entitle me to stand before you. How could I stand here after what my people have done? And Ezra's praying and weeping in the Beit HaMikdash. And the nation hears him. Meaning his expression of how bad we've been is really to arouse the nation. In front of them he says, that's it, we're done. Look at how good Hashem has been to us, and look at how bad we have been, and what hope is there for us? Now, I believe the book of Ezra is written as an encouragement for us. We're reliving the days of Ezra today. We're back in Israel where we have to deal with the nations. We're back to a time where people are intermarrying. We're back to, I see in the book of Ezra, I think that our generation more than any other generation can understand why this book is important for us. I don't know what they thought was the purpose of the book of Ezra 300 years ago and 800 years ago. The Jew in the shtetl wasn't intermarrying. But today the book of Ezra is more relevant maybe than every other book of Tanakh. The idea that when things start turning good, we have to stop and say, what's going on here? Hashem has let us come out of the Holocaust. Who thought we'd last? No one thought we'd last. Rav Soloveitchik's students, Rav Hershel Schachter says, they asked them, why didn't you take notes when he taught class? And they said, we didn't think there'd be a Jewish people. We thought it was all gone. We didn't think there was anyone to write notes for. And so after such a tremendous Holocaust, we're still here. And yet we have to face our major challenge, like in the days of Ezra. People are intermarrying. And so Ezra expresses this, and he says this loudly. And so the men, women, and children who have come up, they all start crying. And then Shechaniah ben Yechiel tells Ezra, he's one of the leaders, he says, we have rebelled against Hashem our God. We have taken women from the nations. Yesh mikveh liYisrael al zot. Is there a hope? Is there something we can do? What can we do? We could do. There is a hope. We will make a covenant with Hashem, and we will accept upon ourselves to remove the women, and we will repent. This is what Hashem wants of us. And we will observe the Torah. This is mind-boggling that people were willing to do this. And he tells Ezra, you can get up because it's your responsibility to lead this, and we're with you. Strengthen yourself and let's start doing it. And so Ezra gets up and he takes with him the leaders of the Kohanim and the Levim and Israel, and he makes each one take a vow that they're going to live up to it. And Ezra is fasting and he's mourning over what happened, and now he has to deal with the problem. And this is where we're up to, the conclusion of the book of Ezra, how Ezra will ultimately bring the Jews back. We will finish the book of Ezra, Be'ezrat Hashem, on Sunday. In fact, we're not finishing the book of Ezra because the continuation is the book of Nehemiah. In Judaism, we don't split them into two, even though they certainly seem like two different books. But our tradition is that they are one. And we will continue Be'ezrat Hashem and conclude on Sunday and Monday. And then we will also learn Megillat Esther.